Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog, who lives in a pond and loves to tell stories. This one's a sleepy meditation, so make sure that your feet are nice and warm and your head is resting on something soft and you want to go to sleep as you listen. Sleep is such a beautiful thing. It makes us feel so good. Something that helps me sleep in my froggy mud home under the pond is to make sure I get some fresh air every day. Even when it seems like an awful day outside, I go outside anyway and I hop around. And the more I hop around, the more delicious and dreamy my sleep is. And the easier it is for me to go to sleep. It's important to work up a good appetite for sleep, I find. With lots of play and exercise and fresh air, it makes me sleep better. Just like food tastes better when you've been playing outside hard. Sleep tastes better too. Maybe you know what I mean. Some stories, you know, are true stories, and some stories happen in a land far, far away or in another time. This story is unusual because everything in it happens in the dark, when there's just enough silvery soft moonlight and starlight to see the shapes of things, when nocturnal animals like owls are awake, but everyone else is snug and sleepy, and when the sky is a deep, deep indigo color. You know that color. It's dark purple and it's dark blue at the same time. Can you see that color? Indigo? I want you to breathe in that indigo color. Breathe it in. And when you breathe out, I want you to breathe out the bright every color of the day. Are you ready to try that? Let's try it three times. Deep breaths. In, indigo. Out, every other color. In, indigo. Out, every other color. In, and out. I think we're ready now. Once upon a time, there was a little sand elf who was walking down a beach in the moonlight. He was gathering sand dollars and sand berries. Can you hear the ocean now? As he walked, he gathered many sand dollars and sand berries, and he enjoyed the scenery that was so familiar to him. The ocean stretching forever into the dark, starry horizon. The silky night sky above him and the glittering waves along the shoreline. But then the little elf saw something unexpected. A fairy egg. It was perched atop a sandcastle that was about to be washed away by the tide, but the little elf noticed the egg first because it was glowing so brightly in the darkness. The little elf picked up the egg just before it was washed out to sea, and he held it up for inspection. It was a perfectly round orb. It glowed with a warm orangey-red color. The sand elf marveled that it looked like he was holding the planet Mars in his hand, but only as it appeared so tiny, tiny and far away as a star in the night sky, yet there it was right there in his elfin hand. Well, this is a precious thing, thought the elf. I must keep it safe. And so he put it at the bottom of his silver drinking cup, where it would be safe from any harm as he picked his way down the beach, gathering a few more sand dollars and sand berries before returning home. Because the elf, whose name was Riventhorn, was looking for sand berries and sand dollars along the beach, He kept his gaze along the shoreline and to the dunes, where he was also wary of all the little baby foxes playing and wrestling and pouncing on each other among the tiny dune grasses and shrubs. Ribbonthorn the elf did not want to be spotted by the foxes. He didn't want to fight, so he walked very carefully and quietly. Then something caught his eye in the water. A tiny green orb, pulsing with green light. It was being lifted up by a wave and dropped gently on the shore. Then the little shining green orb got sucked back out to sea, and then up it would go again, riding on a wave, and down, drop down on the shore, again and again and again. So the little elf took off his leather shoes, and he waded out into the sea to catch that little green orb in his hands. And when he did, he held it up in the moonlight, and he marveled at it. How exquisitely beautiful, he thought, as he dropped it into his silver drinking cup, along with the red one, and he waded back to the shore. As Ribbonthorn continued down the beach, his shoes slung over his shoulder, and his bare feet in the still warm from the day sand, he knew to keep his eye out for another little shining orb, because elves know that things like this most always happen in threes. And there it was, a third egg. He might have mistaken it for a twinkling star hanging down among a clump of orange sea buckthorn berries, but it was round and blue and glowing. Not like the other berries at all. He picked it down from the overhanging branch as if it were a berry, and he put it in his silver cup with the other two, and he headed home. The sand elf lived next door to a hider sprite, which is a type of green-eyed fairy that can shape-shift into a sand martin, which is a type of shorebird, of course, that lives in sandy cliffs overlooking water, and who is also known for helping lost children get home again. The elf knocked on the sprite's fairy door on the mud cliff she lived in. He could see there was just a little light coming from underneath the otherwise dark doorway, and sure enough, she answered his knock on her door, in her fairy form, not in her bird form this time, her green eyes shining in the dark. And the elf showed the fairy sprite the contents of his silver cup. When she looked inside, she saw the little orb that glowed with orange light, and the little orb that pulsed with blue light, and the little orb that shone with green light. And she said, "These are fairy eggs, Ribbonthorn." "Indeed. And furthermore, you have three different types of fairy eggs here in your cup. Well, this one is a sea fairy, this green one. It is of the sea. And this one is an earth fairy egg. This orange one, it is of the earth. And this blue one here, this is a sky fairy, of the air." "Fairies never lose their eggs," she continued. "There must be some reason their mothers had to leave them behind and wanted you to find and watch over their precious eggs for them. I can tell that they each have a protection spell on them so that a kind soul like you will see them glowing in the dark and will collect them and keep them safe from harm." "I would like to keep them safe from harm," said the elf, "but I'm not sure I know how to care for fairy eggs." "Oh, you know more than you think," said the hider sprite. "If I were you, I would tuck them in an oyster. They'll be warm there, but not too warm, and they won't dry out. You wouldn't want that, and they'll be safe in the hard shell. If you have any trouble raising them, Ribbonthorn, you can ask me for help." Ribbonthorn thanked his neighbor for the advice, and he went to find an oyster. There were oysters in a tidal pool he knew well, because it was very near his home, and he asked the biggest oyster there, the oldest oyster there, for help, and the oyster agreed with him that the fairy eggs were precious and should be protected, and the oyster was happy to keep the eggs at the right temperature and safe from harm for as long as they needed. Ribbonthorn checked on the oyster and the eggs every morning, At noon, every night for an entire moon, nothing much changed until, of course, one of the eggs hatched. The first egg to hatch was the orange one. And out of the orange egg came the prettiest baby Reventhorn had ever seen. A tiny little perfect fairy child with wings folded on her tiny back. Her hair and skin were dark brown and her eyes as green as a hider sprite's. The first thing she did when she was free of the egg was to stretch and then crawl up onto the shore and to stretch and yawn and curl up against a warm, smooth stone on the sand. And then she fell asleep. As she slept, her delicate little rib cage moved in and out. In. And out. She barely moved, though her wings began to flutter just a little bit in the night breezes and to unfurl bit by bit on her back just a little bit at a time until they were fully stretched out and shining in the moonlight. Reventhorn was mesmerized as he watched over the little fairy until morning. Remarkably, she grew from a baby to a beautiful full-grown fairy in just one night. Then she awoke. She yawned and stretched, and to his surprise, she flew away into the sand dunes where she ate a sea buckthorn berry for breakfast and then began to build herself an exquisitely beautiful sand castle to live in. She was a bit shy of Reventhorn, and he didn't want to scare her, but he could tell that she knew he was watching her, and she didn't mind. The next night, the blue egg hatched, and Reventhorn was amazed to see the perfect little baby fairy inside just floated up, up, up above the tidal pool, and then fell asleep again, floating in the sky. Her fairy wings were still damp and closed against her back, but they fluttered in the breeze, and as they fluttered, they began to billow around her the loveliest shining blue color. As Reventhorn watched, the fairy's hair grew from a puff of flossy blonde baby hair to a long flowing mane of bouncing copper-colored curls. And in the morning she yawned and stretched and very effortlessly flew up, up, and away into the brilliant blue morning sky. Reventhorn couldn't see where she went. It was so high up in the clouds. And he was tired, of course. Sand elves are nocturnal elves, and while they are happily awake all night, during the day they need to sleep. So Reventhorn went to his lovely little bed and his little home hidden amongst some beech grasses. His bed was made of driftwood and tree silk, and it was both soft and sturdy, and he loved how it held him up as he lay still in his elf house. As he slept, his body knew his bed would keep him warm and supported all the day long as he needed it to. His bed held up his tired feet and his tired legs. His bed held up his tired back and his tired arms. His bed held up his tired head, too, on his silky, smooth pillow. The next night, it was the green egg that hatched, and out came a sweet little fairy that looked like a merboy, but with wings. He was an ocean fairy and so had fins and flippers where most fairies would have legs. He had wild green hair like seaweed. It floated all around him, and the first thing he did was use his new wings to fly from the little tidal pool out into the ocean, and then he dove in and swam away into the briny waters. Well, the fourth night, Reventhorn thought he would be sad because he was used to looking over the fairy eggs and now there were none to look after. And so he sat by the tidal pool, and he began to play his guitar in the night, just to himself and the stars. Then, to his surprise, out from the prettiest sandcastle came the lovely Earth Fairy, her long, full brown hair swinging behind her, and she curled up against a warm rock near the tidal pool she hatched in, and with one hand dangling into the water, she fell asleep there. Riventhorn could see her breathing softly in and out, in and out, and then down, down from the sky drifted the lovely Air Fairy. She hung just above the water, floating like a bubble, but with one hand reaching down to hold the Earth Fairy's hand. And she too fell asleep, breathing effortlessly in and out, in and out. And then, from out of the ocean waves, swam the little green water fairy, his silver mertail glittering in the night. He stretched out in the water of the tidal pool, his seaweedy green hair floating around him. And he reached just one hand out of the water to hold the hands of the air fairy and the earth fairy too. The three fairies slept like that, night after night, one floating in the water, one curled up on the sand, and one floating in the sweet night breezes, holding hands, earth, air, and water, warm, safe, and with all they needed. And every night, sweet Riventhorn would visit the beautiful sleeping fairies at the tidal pool, and he'd play this lullaby.